Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Living and Thriving with Rusty.
Good morning, good evening, good afternoon to all my blessed beloveds out there in Radio Land. You're listening to Living and Thriving with Rusty, and guess what? I'm Rusty. Tonight is Sunday night, and it's going to be a crazy week here in New Hampshire. School starts Wednesday, and we did a little bit of school shopping this afternoon, and malls are full, plazas are full, stores are full. Everybody's doing the same thing, getting ready for school. It's kind of a humbling and remarkably bittersweet occasion. Yes, it's nice when the kids are back at school, but it's, for me personally, that's just a symbol that summer is almost over. And here we go with the sweaters and the boots and the shovels and all that stuff that I really could live without from this point in my life. But it is what it is, and this is reality, and it's catching up to me that their winter is coming. I have been honored to be speaking at Laurel Mays Cottage at the end of September. That is in Rochester, New Hampshire. And it's going to be a live talk in regards to inspiration and survival. Hopefully, I'll see you there and we can, have a one-on-one conversation. That'll be fun. It'll be nice to meet everybody that will attend tonight. I'm really looking forward to having Val Logan on. Val is a clairaudient, and he has a book out in regards to the 10 secrets to joyful creativity and manifesting good luck, positive energy, and changing the way you speak and changing the words that you use in order to change the way your life is, and I'm all about that. So it'll be really interesting. I have no idea what a clairaudient is.
ASEA is the first and only source of balanced, stabilized redox signaling molecules outside the body. What does that mean? Enhanced immune function, protection against free radical damage, boosts efficiency of the body's own antioxidants. ASEA is the first and only source of balanced, stabilized redox signaling molecules outside the body. What does that mean? Enhanced immune function, protection against free radical damage, boosts efficiency of the body's own antioxidants by up to 500%, and provides superior support to athletes, for starters. To learn more about this amazing one-of-a-kind product and how it can enrich your life, go to ASEA-rocks.com. That's ASEA-rocks.com. Or call Teresa at 206-454-9226. Again, that's 206-454-9226.
Living and Thriving with Rusty is proudly sponsored by Lady Hawk & Associates, a full private investigation firm. Contact Lady Hawk & Associates today, 941-275-1920. Remember, Lady Hawk & Associates can help you uncover, recover, or discover. Call 941-275-1920.
Well, that was very rude. My phone decided to hang up on me. Interesting stuff.
Hello, Rusty.
That technology. Hi, Val. How are you, my dear?
Hey, I got through to you.
Yeah, I know. I'm having like this time warp technology issue today. It happens sometimes. Well,
all right.
Welcome to Living and Thriving. Nice to meet you.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Yeah, so tell us who you are and what you do.
Well, basically, my name is Val Logan, and I work with people and help them to achieve whatever goal they want to have, whether that's in relationships or with their career, or with anything that's blocking them, because I have this ability to hear inside a person's voice where the blocks are, where the energy is stuck. And then I help people by saying certain words, having them say certain words, and recognize and see how that relieves their energy, gets it to flow better, so their life improves and they can feel it right away, instantaneously. And that's quite a gift, and it's very, very helpful. So that's basically what I do.
So what did you want to be as a child?
What's that?
What did you want to be as a child?
Oh, well, as a child, I didn't know what I wanted to be. I wasn't sure what I could do. And then one day, later on, I found out when I walked into a class in group dynamics as an undergraduate, and instructor said, talk about your feelings. Get into small groups and talk about your feelings. And I did that and recognized this was a language that I actually understood. I could feel it. I can do it. And I helped other people do that and became the leader of the group. It was just amazing. Transformation that happened within me. I've been doing some form of personal growth with other people, with myself and with my wife and different clients since the 60s, so I'm really enthused about it.
Wow. What was the pivotal mark in your life where this was the particular path that you were going to continue to walk on?
Go ahead.
You woke up one morning, or somebody influenced you, or you found a book, or give us a little bit of a detail on how that time was motivating and inspired you.
Well, what I was just saying about the group dynamics class, that kind of gave me the indication I was on the right track, because once I learned that I could intuitively work with people on a deeper level, and they would receive benefits from that, then I couldn't hardly wait to get involved. And as I kept doing that, I kept getting better at it all the time. So that was a part of it. That was a part of what pointed me in the right direction. Then I explored different tools, Gestalt therapy with Fritz Perls. I worked with people to develop my intuition, and I just took off from there. So I'm a happy camper. I realized that when I was on a radio show, this lady it was KEST Radio in San Francisco, and people would call in, and I would help them recognize what was going on, and they would get insights and things they didn't know that they knew, and it was really great. And the host said, well, I'd like you to just take over yourself. And so I became the host as I was working with people, and it was just amazing. And then I realized I could do this with people over the phone. I could do it on Skype, person to person, in group, individuals, anywhere in the world that a person has a phone or has a Skype, we can do this. It's just amazing. I mean, I'm just amazed myself oftentimes. So I can actually see... Go ahead.
One of the things that I think that we really haven't delved into is who you are. I mean, we've kind of scratched the surface a little bit, but as I'm reading more about you, you're actually an ordained minister with DDD from Spiritus Church. You're a certified hypnotherapist, a spiritual counselor, a relationship coach, a success coach. It doesn't say you do windows, so I'm a little disappointed about that, but you do pretty much everything.
Right, I don't do windows. Well, I actually know how to do windows.
That's something you want to be certified in, huh?
Yeah. I don't always tell people that because they might want me to do their windows.
Right. You'd be on higher demand. So talk to us a little
bit
about, I think everybody starts out as a dishwasher in a kitchen and then they work their way up to a chef, but I'm feeling like you have more to your past story than you have really shared with us. So did you graduate high school and go right into becoming a minister, or what was that process like? I mean, you took a class that inspired you to understand clairaudient ways. I understand that, but there's so much more to you. You're a little bit more complex than that. Talk to us about that.
Out of high school, I went into the military. So I wanted to get that out of the way. I was in Germany. I wasn't in the combat zone, but that was the time that Vietnam was happening. And so I learned to speak German in high school, so I could speak some more German when I got to Germany. and that was illuminating for me as well. So languages are kind of important to me, and communicating more and more deeply is essentially who I am. I'm a seeker on the path, that's for sure. I've experienced different forms of yoga, different forms of affirmation, different kinds of meditation. I've done a lot of things in personal growth. And one of the times that I got in front of people and started doing the work that I do, it was pretty amazing for me and others. And the people that were doing the workshop, they wanted to start taking me as part of their senior instructor group, or different major cities in the U.S. We went to Hawaii, we went to the Bahamas, Puerto Rico, and Vancouver. We went to a lot of different places, and people would be encouraged to be on the right track with themselves, and they received a lot of good benefits. Now, I realized one time when we were in Sauterbrook, New Jersey, where I was working with people here and there, and one of the founders came up to me and said, they're not taking us very seriously. And these people were conscientious. They really wanted something for themselves. But it was like they'd been there, done that, and they were cut off. And so the one of the founders said, what are we going to do? And I said, oh, well, give them to me. I'm hungry. So we stopped everything. These people were genuine. They really wanted something. They just didn't know what it was going to be. So I started working with them and individually and in the group. And after we were finished, we were all crying for sweet, genuine tears. It was so wonderful because they were like, yes, this is why we came here. And we didn't know this was possible. And they were just really ecstatic about it because that was what they were looking for, and we were able to provide that for them. And I did my part to help. And then they were open to anything and everything because we got through those things together. I was flying back in the 30,000 feet in the air, and I was saying, yes, this is what I'm here to do. This is what I do. This is what I'm good at. And that was that pivotal moment. And I said, yeah, I have it all. I said, oops, I don't have it all. I don't have the relationship that I want at the time. But I did have that piece of it that I could do really well, and other people appreciated it. And so this lady's image came into my mind, and I started trying to talk myself out of it. No, she's with somebody, it won't work, you'll get rejected, all that kind of stuff. And then I had a talk with myself, which is what I help other people do. I had a talk with myself, my negative critic, and said, were you with me when we did this work in Sauterbrook with the other people there? I said, yes, yes. I said, well, do you get the point that this will be a good thing and see how it works? It'll be fine. And so my critic sort of was subdued and said, okay, I'm with you. Let's do it. So I invited this lady to come out and have dinner with me. She was trying out for the company I was working with called Sage. And so we had started to have some dinner together and waiting for the founders to show up. And so she asked me, she said, when I was quiet, she said, are you okay? And I said, I'm good. She says, do you have everything you want? I said, no, I don't. And she was like interested. She says, well, what do you mean you don't? I said, I want you. Her eyes got big around, her jaw dropped, and we started talking. And that was in, I think, 91. In 92, we were living together, and we had gone to Hawaii and gotten married in a heiau on the island of Kauai. And we came back, and I was, you know, it was just really fearful for me, vulnerable and good for both of us. And so then this image kept coming into my mind, a thought. Tell her about 1987. I said, talking to myself, why should I do that? I said, just go ahead and do it. Okay. So I said in 1987 to her, I wrote down a description of the qualities and the characteristics that I wanted my ideal partner. And she said, well, when was that? I said, 1987. I don't remember the month or the day or the hour. She's meticulous that way. And she said, well, guess what? I said, what? She said, I wrote down a description of my ideal partner after listening to a self-hypnosis tape on your ideal mate. And I wrote down a description, and you fit that. And we had done the same thing at different times, and we found each other. So that's what qualifies me to help other people find the right relationship that they're looking for. That was magical for both of us. So these kind of things sort of happened together, and one thing led to the next.
So let's delve into that. We have about 13 minutes left of the show, and I want to take a couple of minutes to delve into a little bit of each of your complexities. But in regards to relationships in particular, how do you advise other people to let go of that inner critic? I have a lot of friends that are out there dating or trying to date, and some of them become too aggressive and too pushy because of their own insecurities. Other people get, you know, concerned about whatever it is, and it usually sabotages the relationship, I think. So give us a couple of top three points of how to be your best you in the romantic world.
Well, the best way that I've seen is to focus on being genuine. And when your critic tells you there's something wrong with you or wrong with the other person, the critic is oftentimes trying to help. However, that form of helping is sabotaging for both people involved. Right. And so I help people role play and communicate with the critic, to talk to the critic and say, here's what I'd like you to do. Instead of being critical, help me speak up for myself in the most genuine way so that I will attract the most genuine kind of people to me. And then the law of attraction starts working for rather than against, because you're being more genuine in a way that brings you closer to yourself and to other people. Does that make any sense right now?
It makes perfect sense. Perfect sense.
Yeah. So, I have this one lady that has never even thought that she could talk to herself. She thought that's just who she is, being critical that way of herself and other people. Never occurred to her that she could have a dialogue. And most people don't even know that they can. But go ahead. What were you going to ask?
Oh, no. I talk to myself all the time. I'm constantly having that conversation. My poor daughter is like, Mom, you're talking to yourself again. I'm going, yeah, I'm trying to sort things out. I think it's certainly important to really be authentic and real in regards to that. And I honestly have come into, in those last 2 years, I've come to respect my vulnerabilities. And that's something that is very difficult for our ego to step aside and say, hey, it's okay, you're beautiful, your belly's up, it's open, it's ready, and you're as vulnerable as possible. Talk to us a little bit about vulnerability and your perception of the essence and beauty of it.
Well, vulnerability is important because that's the way we become honest and genuine. However, there's a caveat. We also need to have boundaries handy, because when we have good boundaries, we can be loving. But when there's no respect for boundaries or honoring our feelings, then we're open and vulnerable in a negative way. So let's say, for example, someone that you're interested in, and you talk to this person and you start getting, here's what I want in my life, and the person becomes critical. Well, why could you want that? What's wrong with you? You can say, well, that is not really what I want to hear. I want to hear some encouragement and constructive feedback. I'd just like you to listen and be here with me, be here for me. And that's a boundary, because you're speaking up for yourself and you're establishing a good communication. And then when the other person, the potential partner, starts to open up and be clear and genuine and honest, then you can respect boundaries in that direction as well. So boundaries are very important. They bring closeness and safety, and that's important. The unconditional love part can only happen when you have boundaries. And because you want to feel safe in your communication with yourself and other people. And the critical self, though it's wanting to help, shuts us down and shuts other people down. So that's why you want to have respectful boundaries so we can speak up and be heard and listen and understand. Is that helpful?
Absolutely. Do you have any other tips or tools that individuals can use in regards to allowing themselves that moment of vulnerability?
Yes, I help people practice that. Yes.
Good.
Because I can hear when a person is being genuine and when they're not, and where they want to be and don't know how. So then boundaries are understood, respected, and valued. And that's really cool. That's a new territory for a lot of people.
Yeah. It really, really is.
And those who are willing to go there, it's really great.
I think that's interesting as I observe more and more growth spiritually, mentally, and emotionally with people. We are really starting to untangle a lot of the guided information that we've been given socially and community-wise over the years. And vulnerability is one of the largest pieces of being human and expression and emotion and feeling and connecting. And people really struggle. It's like it's almost like a wetsuit that it's really difficult for them to wiggle out of. And in some ways, it's like a Linus blanket to not allow people to see who you really are on the inside. Instead of this beautiful manifestation that's happening, it's really been impressive. 10 years ago, you wouldn't have seen as much as you do now in regards to self-healing, self-help, self-awareness, understanding.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the real key is speaking up for what we genuinely want within ourselves and with other people. That's the key. Yeah, because we're not taught to do that oftentimes. We're taught to perform or we're taught to be nice. But
right.
When you're being nice and it's not genuine, there's not a good feeling that goes on. And it's like we're robbing ourselves. And so when we come back to being genuine and honest and speaking up, it's refreshing, it's empowering, it's strengthening. And that's positive vulnerability. Negative vulnerability is when we criticize ourselves and let other people criticize us. And that's what we want to avoid. Whenever we learn something new, it becomes a positive experience. And it's vulnerable in the learning of it. But it's something we want to do. It's not something we have to do. It's a choice that we want to make. And we feel at ease doing it and respectful of ourselves and other people. Yeah.
So
the word respect is really an interesting one, too. If you take it down to what it actually means, it's not catering to authority. It's actually respect is... It's two words. One is doing it again, and that's R-E, and then the next part of it is from the word spectator or to spectate, which means to see. So if we look on a deeper level and see it again and then speak up for it, that's the word respect. That's what it actually means. But we're not taught that. We're taught, I'm the authority, and you have to do it my way, and that's called respect. Well, it's actually not, is it? What do you think? Are you there? Hello? Hello?
For some reason, everybody was dropped off of the call, so hopefully Val will be able to call back in. We have about 4 minutes left in the show, and we were just getting into my question before the blog talk dumped us off was, Val, what's the King of Hearts and Keeper of the Secrets? What does that mean? Have you dialed back in?
We're back together now? We were cut off a minute ago. I dialed back.
Yeah, it was strange because both Blog Talk is having some issues, evidently.
Okay.
We both hung up on the same time. I'm like, Lord, we've only got 3 minutes left of the show. So talk to us quickly about the King of Hearts and Keeper of the Secrets, about a minute, and then give us your one takeaway from today's show.
Okay.
No pressure.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, being a keeper of the secrets means kind of what we were talking about earlier, is looking to see what's the secret of recognizing what shifts our energy and gives each one of us a feeling of expectancy and looking forward to life and wanting to live life more deeply and more enjoyably. And one of the secrets is what the self-critic does automatically, and to work with how to get this critic to help us in a positive, constructive, proactive way. That's one of them, and there's ways of doing that. There's others as well. When we get clear about what we want, and when we get clear and we write down the things that we want, whether it's in career or in relationship with other people, we start to give ourselves an opening of possibilities that are sometimes new, magical, and unexpected. And that kind of shift of energy is what we're looking for. When you listen to someone and that's inspiring, when you write something down and you read it to yourself and it flies off the page and lights your fire, then you know you're on the right track. If you write something down, it's just words and you're going through the motions and you get stuck because you think you're doing the right thing, but it turns out to be the wrong thing or the right thing, but not with the right feeling. So one of the secrets is helping people get back to their genuine energy of who they really are, the unique person that each person is. And that's when magical things start happening. That's when life becomes easier, more enjoyable, and more fulfilling. And I have a lot of tools about that. But these are some of the major ones. Because when you get your subconscious working for you, all kinds of creativity starts to happen. All kinds of joyful experiences are created, and we have so much fulfillment that it's hardly indescribable. If you haven't had that in the past, you don't even know that it's possible, so it becomes really magical, and those are the secrets. That is the secret of life right there, your genuine way of communicating with yourself and others. And I found with most people, the critic is what holds us back, and how to talk to that self-talk is an unusual gift when you can help yourself change that and transform it. Then you become the quality kind of person that you've always wanted to be and didn't know how to do it by yourself. So then I help people do that to start with, and we go deeper and deeper into what's been lurking in the past that holds us back. I help people discover what that is, not just discover what it is, but how to work with it. And then when we talk about it, I have people role play. I can hear inside their voice that, well, oftentimes they don't even know they're thinking, they don't know they're feeling. And once I reveal that, it was a secret because they didn't know that's what they were doing. And once they realize it, then it becomes a real truth for them and how they can live their life even more beneficially and more enjoyably and get that spark back that's their own unique self. And that's so fulfilling.
Now we have about 20 seconds left, and I want people to be able to find you. So how do they find you?
The best way is to give me a call at 707-681-9707. That's 707-681-9707, or they can go to my website, fulfillingrelationships.com, and also have an email, val@fulfillingrelationships.com. That's ways to call
me, you.
And then we can do a free consultation, and if you want to work with me further, then we can talk about how that can work, and I can be of service.
Awesome. The show is getting ready to wrap up. We have just a couple of seconds left, and I just wanted to say that I'm very grateful that you were able to come on and join us and share a little bit about who you are and what you do and what inspires you. I'm grateful. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Rusty, for having me. I'd like to do it again sometime.
All right.
All the best to you.
You too.
Okay, thanks. Bye-bye.
You're listening to Living and Thriving with Rusty. I'm Rusty, and I just had Val Logan on from the West Coast, and a very interesting story, very interesting work, and I'm grateful to have learned more about what a clairaudient is. But we have to wrap up. Little technology issues and burps and blurps, but I'll be on Wednesday at the same station, 1 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, here at Living and Thriving. Just know that I think you are beautiful. You amaze me. I'm so glad we get to walk this path together and learn from people all over the world about so many healing and thriving pieces that we can put together and just make our days better and brighter. Remember, go out and smile at somebody because it's the best contagion you can give.
Yeah.